Yeah, I know that was okay. So first of all, thank you for coming. We are going to stay together for 4 hours of our life. So I really hope you are going to get the most out of these 4 hours. So my name is Paolo Salvatori. I'm a member of the Windows Azure Custom Advisory Team. I have been working in Microsoft for 16 years, a lot of time. Okay, I spent most of this time in Microsoft services. Then I joined the Bistock Rangers team in 2007. And, you know, 2 years ago, people came to us, our manager, and said, okay, whatever you have done so far, now there is only one thing in your mind, is Windows Azure. Okay, so this just to give you an idea of how it is important to Microsoft, Windows Azure, and cloud technologies in general. Okay, so today, first of all, I'm based in Milan. Okay, so I report to Redmond, so I'm part of corporation, but I live in Milan, so I follow all the customers and partners here in Europe. So should you make any interesting solution with any kind of Azure technologies, not just mobile services. Of course, today we are going to talk about mobile services, but like any kind of interesting solution, just contact me, okay? So I can put you in contact, for example, with the product group, if you want to double check your architecture, have an idea, a second opinion, or whatever. So today we are going to see a lot of stuff. Okay, so in the first hour we are going to see the general architecture. We are going to make a roundup the management portal, and then we are going to start diving into the code. So we are going to start to see the REST API, because as you will see, mobile services provide a very easy way for client applications to invoke the REST services that mobile services expose. But at the same time, it's important that you have an idea of how the REST services exposed by mobile services actually work. Okay, so we start from the REST API. So a quick introduction of mobile services. I shouldn't tell you how important are mobile applications today, because it's sufficient that you look at this diagram. If you look at, you know, the green column, it's quite easy to understand. It's quite evident how much time people are spending with mobile applications. So the time is increasing over time, as you can see the comparison between December 2010 and December 2012. So that's why it's very important also that since mobile applications running on mobile devices, they talk with some kind of back-end service, it's really important that the time you spend to build those back-end services is as short as possible, okay? Because you want to reduce the time to market. So these are the challenges faced by the enterprises today. So if you are a big enterprise, a big company, you want probably to manage internal mobile applications, that is applications done for employees, but at the same time also consumer-facing applications, so mobile applications done for customers using the same tools and the same portal. At the same time, small businesses, they want to have a very short time to market, so they want to reduce the cost of development for the applications. At the same time, they want also to accelerate the development. Like, let's say you have a customer that says, I would like to have a mobile application in 1 month. You know, you don't want to reinvent the wheel every time, so you just want to, you know, create your backend services as fast as possible. So this is exactly what mobile services provide, okay? Because, as you will see, hopefully, during these 4 hours, mobile services are a way, like, it's a sort of new offering, a new service in the Windows Azure platform that allows you to leverage and use all the other services like SQL Azure, table storage, blobs, security, and so forth, and Service Bus, for example, in a very easy way. Like with a few lines of code, you can literally write the backend service, okay? So these are the key scenarios for mobile services. Make your application, let's say, sexy, appealing, dynamic, because if you really want to engage your customers, you really need to make your application running on devices dynamic and at the same time also live. So the main way to do this, to accomplish this task, is using push notifications or live tiles, okay? And we'll see that programming this stuff with mobile services is quite easy. The second scenario is that, as we said before, rapid development, because you want to have your application up and running as soon as possible, and you want to spend really a short time building the backend services. As you will see, you can accomplish this task literally in minutes using mobile services. And make your application social. This is really important, because if you want to give your mobile application some kind of social angle, let's say, you need to integrate your application with the main social networks like Facebook and Twitter, but also with identity providers, so as Microsoft account or Google, okay? And as we'll see, you can accomplish this operation very easily, because mobile services is able, you know, to integrate with social networks and identity providers. So this is a very high overview of mobile services. So starting from the connecting applications, as you will see, we support a Windows Store apps running on Windows 8. We also support Windows Phone 8 and now recently also, I think, Windows Phone 7.5 with the portable client library. But of course, we also support the main, you know, operating systems like iOS, so iPad and iPhone, and also Android. And in March, we introduced support for HTML5. So you can also think to build up your application using HTML5 and JavaScript, and we'll see some demos. So on the right side, you know, as I said, mobile services allows you to, first of all, to write some business logic inside the server-side scripts, and we'll see a lot of scripts today. You can also define some logic that is run on a time basis, so you can use the scheduler that is provided by mobile services. So as you will see, you can, you know, use the scheduler to run periodically jobs to, for example, backup a database, clean up a database, or send a report or a mailing campaign overnight, or push notifications, whatever, okay? And the user authentication, As we said, we support Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, and Google at the moment. You can also build your own authentication token eventually if you want to create your own custom authentication mechanism. And Josh Twist, which is a member of the mobile services team, has a couple of posts on this on his blog. Push notifications, we actually support Windows notification services to send notifications to Windows Store apps, so Windows 8 applications. We support Microsoft push notification service to send notifications to Windows Phone 8. But of course, we also support Apple push notification to send notifications to iPad and iPhone, and the Google messaging system. I don't remember the name. We'll see in a slide. Going forward, these are the client platform that we support. As I said, Windows 8, iOS, Windows Phone 8, Android, and HTML5. So let's look at the general architecture. So how it works. In the next few minutes, we are going to build our first mobile service. So what happens when you create a mobile service using the provisioning wizard? So actually, a website a Windows Azure website, the code name is Antares, is created for you. And so this is the management portal. RDFE stands for Red Dog Frontend. It's a layer of services, okay, REST services, which are invoked by the management portal, but they, or that you can invoke directly from your code. So the Zoomo is the for the rest of the speech. Zoomo is just the code name of mobile services. So every time you see Zoomo, this means mobile services, okay? So the Zoomo resource provider is going to create a website for you and is going to create the following element. So it's going to deploy the runtime, the application scripts, the Azure SDK, some, so at the moment, the scripts that you can create, they are JavaScript scripts and they are using Node.js. So it's going also to, let's say, to provision the Node.js runtime along with some modules, and we'll look at the main of these modules. And at the same time, as you will see, you can also create a SQL Azure database where your data is going to be stored, or you can eventually, if you don't want to create a new database, you can just say, you can reference an existing database, okay? So eventually you can also share that database with another application, okay? For example, I don't know, another cloud service running with web roles and worker roles. And how can you invoke your mobile services? Well, your mobile services expose a REST API, and this REST API can be invoked from devices, so like Windows Store apps or iPhone Windows Phone and so forth, using the Azure Load Balancer and the application request routing, okay? So this is just to give you an idea, because of course all this stuff is fully transparent to you, okay? You don't see this stuff. So let's look at the dashboard. First of all, we'll look at, I just prepared a series of slides, because so we can go through all of them, but of course then I'll show you live this stuff, okay? So let's start from the dashboard. So first of all, in the dashboard there are different areas. The quick glance displays the relevant modules. The relevant mobile service information. So like for example the service URL that is the public endpoint exposed by your mobile services, or the status, the location in which data center your mobile services actually lives. Okay. And also the name of the SQL Azure database where your data actually lives. Then we have, as you can see, a timeline, okay? So you can use the timeline to display things like the CPU time, the number of API calls. So if you want to have, at a glance, how many calls your mobile services receive in a certain time frame, you can use the timeline. There is also a section here, you can see here, it's called Usage Overview. You have more information about the total compute time, how much storage is used by your mobile services, and so forth. The application also, the mobile services also use some keys, as you will see. One of these keys is called Application Key. Now, it's important to highlight the fact that the application key is not a security mechanism. It's not an authentication mechanism. It's just a convenient way used by a client application to identify itself to mobile services, okay? So don't use the application key as an authentication mechanism, because it's not. Also because, as you will see, the application key is usually sent along with a request inside a specific header. And of course, this travels in clear text. So it's not definitely a security mechanism. Data, as we'll see in Windows Azure Mobile Services, data is hosted by SQL Azure Database. This is not mandatory. As you will see in the third hour, I think, I'll show you how you can eventually store your data in table storage, not in SQL database, okay? And going forward, as you will see now, mobile services are in a certain sense bound to tables in a SQL Azure database. But going forward, the plan is to provide you the ability to create, let's say, custom mobile services with a custom name that don't have any counterpart on SQL Azure. So if you create let me show you this stuff live, which is probably better because I see that it's quite small. Okay. So this is my portal. As you can see, I have at the moment 5 mobile services.
Sorry, no signal.
Oh, no signals. This is interesting. Why? Let me see. Let me see. Yes, now you see, but I don't see. wait a second. Let's do this way. I have no idea why it's working this way. So, by the way, so if I, first of all, if you want to create a new mobile service, okay, you go here. No, let's see the sections before. So, this is an existing mobile service. We have seen the dashboard already. In the data sections here, you have the tables that you on your SQL Azure database. We'll see this when we create a new mobile service. You can click on individual tables, and you can navigate to your to that specific table. Here you can see the data. The data is paged, so you can navigate through the pages. Or in the script sections, there are 4 available scripts that you can define if you want to customize the application logic for the 4, let's say, crude operations, which are insert, update, delete, and read. Okay, and literally, you can override the entire logic in the sense that you can eventually, as we'll see in one of the demos, you can eventually not write the data to SQL Azure, but to table storage. Or you can do things like you can validate data and see, for example, that arguments are not null. Or you can make a duplicate detection. You want to insert the same data twice if the data already exists in the table. And other things, interesting things, you want to send the push notification when certain data is inserted in tables and so forth. So it's a very rich model, okay? And we'll see a lot of samples. Columns, it's important to know that you don't need, when you create a table, you don't really need to go and create, you know, the schema of your table up front. Because the schema is dynamic in the sense that, as you will see, when a client application sends a new record, if and the record contains multiple properties, for each property for which a column actually doesn't exist, the mobile services framework is going to create a column for you. Okay? You can control this mechanism called dynamic schema, okay, in the configure section of the mobile service, as we'll see. So you can eventually disable this from happening. So this is usually very helpful when you are, you know, building your application, because this way you don't need to go here and create the column by yourself. It's important to note that the data type of each column is eventually inferred, okay, so it's inherited from the type of the property. And another important thing is that in the column sections, you can also set an index on that column. That means that, of course, if you want to accelerate queries against this data on this table, you need an index, okay? So in that case, you can say, you can click, like in this case, a column and say, I want this column to be part of the index, okay? By the way, as I said, when you create a mobile service, you can also specify a new database or an existing database, and you don't need to necessarily manage that database from this user interface. You can use SQL Server Management Studio, or you can use the I'll show you this. You can use the interface provided by SQL Azure Database. Okay, I'll show you when we get to the configure section of the mobile service. So this is another very important section where you control authentication at the table level. Basically, you have four different kinds of authentication. Everyone means that everyone, literally, even anonymous user, can invoke the operation in question. So you can set this for the four crude operations. So insert, update, delete, and read. Okay. So of course it comes without saying it's not a good idea to set, you know, to choose everyone. Okay, because this is going to allow everyone to insert data unless it's an application that is open to everyone without any kind of authentication. The second choice you have is anybody with the application key. That means, as once again, the application key is a special key that you can retrieve from the management portal or using also the cross-platform, the Windows Azure cross-platform command line tool. I'll show you this in the second or third hour. In this case, this means, in a few words, that the operation is allowed if the REST call contains the header xzumo application with the application key. I'll show you this with Fiddler, okay? Only authenticated users, as the name suggests, the operation is allowed only if the user has a valid user ID, okay? As you will see, all the scripts have as an argument an object called user. So if that user was authenticated and has a valid user ID, that operation is valid. Otherwise, it's unauthorized. And then the final one is only script, and that means when basically, for example, you want only administrators to be able to run that specific operation, or for example, if you want to run that operation from a scheduled job, and not from devices, for example, okay? Let's come back. So another important thing is that you don't need to come back if you want to work with another table on the same database. You can just go here and click, and you go to another table, okay? Now let's come back. The scheduler. We'll talk about the scheduler in the last hour. So as the name suggests, it's a convenient way to create a script that is going to be run on a time basis. So if I click this job, as you can see, I can run this on demand, or I can enable it. At the moment it's disabled, and I can specify, you see, a schedule. Every, I don't know, 15 minutes or hours or days or whatever. Okay, now, there are two ways to run your mobile service. In a shared environment, And when in a shared environment, you don't have to pay anything at, in preview mode, okay? Or in a dedicated environment. In, when your mobile service is running in a shared environment, basically it's free, and you can create up to one job for each mobile service, no more than one job, at least at the moment. Okay, so this is still in preview. While if you are running your mobile service in a dedicated environment, you can create up to 10 jobs. Okay, so let's get back. In the push notifications, and we'll talk about these in the second or third hour, you can basically configure the mobile service to integrate with Windows application, the Windows notification service to send notifications to Windows Store apps, so applications running on Windows 8. Or you can do the same with the Apple push notification or the Google Cloud messaging setting. Cloud messaging, the Google Cloud messaging system. Identity. In this particular case, I configure my Babbo application to integrate with all of the available social networks and identity providers. So I'll show you how you can do that. Basically, the mechanism is give or take the same for all of them. You have to enter a specific site. For example, for Facebook, it's developers.facebook.com. Okay? You have to go there, create an application, and after you create the application, you also get a couple of credentials like the application ID and application secret. Give or take, they are give or take the same. As you can see, if I scroll down, you can see all of them are provided, you know, with different names. You know, Google is calling these stuff client ID and client secret. So after you created your application, you literally copy and paste this stuff into your mobile service. You also need to declare, when you create the application, what is the public, you know, endpoint of your mobile service on the other side. And after that, you are done. Okay, so you can literally integrate the authentication of Facebook, Microsoft, whatever, in your application. Of course, it comes without saying, as we'll see, that you have to change the client code, because of course the client code needs to open some sort of, you know, authentication form so that the user can authenticate. But this can be done literally with one line of code. Okay, so it's very, very easy. Configure. And this is interesting. So first of all, as I said, when you create a mobile service, and we'll do this briefly, you can you can specify a SQL Azure database, so an existing or a new one. And as I said, this is the control where you can enable or disable dynamic schema. So by default, this is always enabled. So when dynamic schema is enabled, whenever you create a new record in a SQL Azure database table, if a column actually doesn't exist, it's created for you. Let's go to the scale. Oh, I want to show you this thing because this is interesting. You can literally click this link, okay, and you can you jump to the SQL database. You see SQL Azure database, and at this point you can say you can click this guy, for example, and say design your own SQL database. Okay, so here I can enter my credentials and. As you can see, I can see the same tables that I was able to see in the management portal for my mobile service. So I can also do queries. So if I want to make a new query and say select start from DBO to do item, okay. Select start from, not DBO, is Babbo. The name of the schema, okay? Here we go. So I can see the data. So just to, finally, the last chance you have is to use SQL Azure, SQL Server Management Studio. So you can go here and let me show you this. If I come back to the SQL database, I can copy that connections, the connection string, and use the SQL Server authentications. And I can connect to my data in the cloud, to the database, use my mobile service. Here we go, this guy. And I have the same, tables. Okay. Let's get back to the my mobile service. So the scale section allows you to choose between two different modes. As I said, the free mode, where basically you're not spending anything. And in this case, the mobile service is running in a shared environment along with other applications. This means that if for whatever reason, you know, that there is traffic against the other applications running on the same virtual machines, of course, this is going to have an impact on the overall performance of your mobile service. So you can eventually say, okay, I want to have, I'm available to spend a little bit more, but I want to switch to the reserve mode. When you switch to the reserve mode, you can decide how many instances you want, so how many virtual machines you want. And you can also, if you scroll down, the same story applies to the SQL database. So the web is, the, in this case, is provided for you for free. But you can also say, I want to upgrade my SQL Azure database to business. Okay, and in this case, you can see what is the expected price for both changes using the SQL Azure pricing tool. So if we switch back to the presentation quickly. Okay, and I have my slides back. Don't ask me why, I don't know. I will fix this during the interval. Okay, so now I have two seats. One is there and this is the second one. Okay, fine. We have seen data. So let me skip these slides. Scripts, as we said, there are four scripts, and all of them have the user ID. So in case your application is using authentication, you can access the actual user ID of the caller within the script. In the columns, we already talked about the dynamic schema. Permissions, as I said, there are four kind of permissions. You will probably use the ones you are going to use mostly are anybody with the application key, and we'll see this in a minute during the demos, and only authenticated users. The scheduler, we are going to talk about the scheduler in the last hour. We have seen you can create in the free mode one job, in the dedicated reserve mode you can create up to 10 jobs. Push notifications, we'll see this in the third hour, so I'm not going to talk more on this. Identity, same story. The next hour we are going to see about authentication. We integrate with the main social networks and identity providers. Configure section, we have just seen this, and end scale. The last tab on the portal is log. So log is populated automatically by mobile services whenever there is some kind of error or kind of event to trace. But it's very useful for you because, of course, when you create your server-side scripts, how can you debug this stuff? So first of all, the mobile service team is working to make easier to debug scripts from eventually from Visual Studio, but I don't want to commit on this because this is just an idea at the moment. At the moment, what you can do is to use the console object, as we'll see, to write down stuff in the log. So information, errors, warnings, you know, in the usual way. The interesting thing is that in the log, there is, let me show you this on the portal. Of course, now I'm going blind once more. Okay. If you go to the log, so if you click one line, you can see the details. Okay, so I created this entry, for example, inside my code. But you can also, let's say this is an error for whatever reason. Now I know the nature of this error, which is there is a, when I try to send the push notification, that device is disconnected, okay? So no worries. But let's say I want to investigate this error. I can just click the link and I jump directly to the script that generated that error. So this is a convenient way, okay? Okay. So let's come back to the slides. Okay, so let's create our first mobile service very quickly. So we go here and we say new mobile service create. This is the wizard. First of all, I need to provide a name like DevCon. DevCon. I can, as you can see, use an existing SQL database or create a new one. Let's create a new one. I can specify an Azure subscription because in my case I have three subscriptions on my portal. And of course I need to specify a region. So let's say North Europe. So this is the name of my database. I can choose a server, for example. So let's, or I create a new one, but in this case I just want to reuse an existing one. So I specify the credentials. Okay. So when I click the OK button, the website is going to be created. The database is going to be created for you. A user for that database is going to be created along with a connection string that is going to be used by mobile services. Okay. So what is important to note is that, let's wait for the completion. Let's use another one, okay, at the moment. Let's use this one, which is quite simple. On the dashboard, it's important to note that you have a quick tutorial. And we are going to extend this tutorial throughout this master class. So you can choose a platform, so Windows Store Apps, Windows Phone, iOS, Android, or HTML. And you can download, you know, you can create the tables, okay, for this quick start. So the quick start is very easy. It's going to create a to-do item table which contains to-do items. That is, things that you are expected to do. Like, I have to go to the restaurant, I have to go to the hospital, I have to go to the moon, I don't know. So, and I have to kill my girlfriend, for example, if you like, or kiss my girlfriend, buy her a present. And so then you can decide which kind of client you want to download. So, once again, you can download a client for Windows Store App, HTML5, and iOS, Android, everything. So you have a base, a starting base to work with. Okay. Let me show you. I'll show you this stuff, but just in case, you know, you can go here, download, I'm using the Windows Store app, okay? So I can say save as, I don't know, for example, here we go. Then I open the folder, you have a zip file, to unzip, and you can open Visual Studio. Now, this is already an existing mobile service, so there is data already inside. And this is a Windows Store app, because I selected Windows Store app. Okay, let me select. Okay, so this is the application. So I can just say run on the local machine. This is the one I customized a little bit. Okay, so you will see data. So I can do things like I need to make a break in 10 minutes, okay? And click the save button, and I save data in the table on my mobile service. So it's really, really easy, okay? And I'll show you how you can customize the applications to implement things like authentication, notifications, and so forth. But before looking at this stuff, I would like to start looking at the REST APIs. Because even if you are not expected to invoke the REST APIs directly, it's important to have a clear understanding of how it works. Okay? So, let's get back to the slides, and I'll show you. So first of all, how many of you, close this. How many of you knows Fiddler? Okay, all of you. Nice, nice. So it will be very easy. Okay, probably you are even more skilled than me with Fiddler. So, okay. So let's look at the REST API. So basically, there are five main operations. The first one is the login, and we are going the next hour. We are going to see the authentication in detail. But basically, this is to start an authentication flow that is using the OAuth, flow mechanism. So it's really a conversation between the mobile service and the identity provider, okay? And we'll see this in detail. The second one is the query operation to read data from a table, or as we'll see, also a storage table, because as we said, you can literally override the default behavior of any operation using scripts. So you could read this stuff in from a table storage. I made a public sample, and we'll look at this. Insert record, update record, and delete record. So let's see these operations. So the first one is the login, is using a POST. You are expected to specify in the body a JSON object which contains the authentication token. So it's called authentication token when authenticated against the Microsoft Live account. Or it's called access token for Facebook and Google. Okay, the request headers are basically just the ones you see, but they're not really necessary. They're not required. Not even the content left is the only one that is required. And the response is this is the authentication provider token, and the mobile service returns a response, which is a JSON object containing the mobile service authentication token. And you have to use the authentication token provided by mobile service in the rest of of your calls, okay? If you need to, for example, to insert data and so forth. And we'll see this with Fiddler. Query records, it's a get operation, okay? And for example, you have to specify the service name, azuremobile.net, tables, the name of the table. You can specify a certain number of arguments to, for example, to specify filters or to order your data. Just to give you an idea, we'll see this using filters, using Fiddler. You can do things like, I want to retrieve all the items in the to-do item tables, which complete column is equal to false, and I want to order this data by text, for example. And of course, the response is in JSON format. The insert is a post operation. As expected, you have to specify the new record in JSON format in the body. And this is the important part, the headers. Because you remember the permissions at the table level. If you specify that you want to allow the insert operation only when the, for those users that are using the application key, this is the header that you have to use to specify the application key, X Zoom application. While if your application, your mobile service integrates with identity providers, you have to specify the authentication token returned by mobile service in the Xumo out header. Okay, we'll show you, I'll show you this. So this is an example. For example, you can say, I want to record a new item in the to-do item table using this post operation, and you specify just a JSON body. An update record is using the patch verb. In this case, you have to specify the item ID, okay? Because every record in the table has a unique ID and is numeric, okay? So you have to specify as the last part of the URI. Again, you have to specify the Xumo application, Xumo authentication, if this is set at the table level. And the body contained a JSON object with the updated data, but not the ID, because the ID is provided in the URL. Okay, so let's look at some samples. Okay, so let's use Fiddler. So let's use, first of all, we are going to use this guy. So let's go to data and navigate to this table. Okay, so here you can see, let's truncate data. So now I truncated the table. I have no data at all. So let's begin inserting some data using Fiddler. So first of all, I have to specify let me do this way. Okay, now I try to enter this record that says text go to Jupyter complete equal false, and I don't specify the application key. Okay, so I should receive an error, because if I go back to the portal, I show you that by default the permission is set to anybody with the application key. Okay, let's do this to everyone, okay? And I click save. So now I don't require any application key. And let's try to execute this. Okay, the operation was successful. Now let's change let's add a new one, but before adding a new one, I go back to my portal and I set this to application with anybody with the application key. Okay, at this point, if I try again, I should get an error. And in fact, you can see I got a 401, which is unauthorized. Okay, this is absolutely expected. Okay, so what should I do? I should go to the to the dashboard, manage keys. I copy the key. I come back to Fiddler, and this time, okay, I'm going to, in the composer, I'm going to create a new header called xzumo application, okay, and I specify the application key. I try again and see this time it was successful. Okay, so just to make sure that I can get data, let's try a get operation, so a query operation. So I switch to get. The URL is exactly the same. So if I call execute, if I double click here, you see I have the new call. Now I have the two records. Now I want to show you the dynamic schema, which is really important. So if we get back to Composer and we switch back to POST, and we enter a new one, and this time we say, let's say a new property called location, and we say Moscow, like this, okay, and I execute. Okay, the interesting thing is that if we switch to get, here I have the new record, but the interesting thing is that, as you can see now, also the other record have the a column called location, because this was created for you automatically on the underlying table. So if we go back to the portal and we go to data and we look at the columns, you can see that now I have a location column. Okay, so this is created on the fly for you. Now, finally, two more things. You can also update an existing item. So let me see if... so let me re-execute this guy. So let's take ID 1. Let's modify this from go to Jupyter. So I go here and I say I want to modify the item with ID equal 1. I say fetch, and I go instead of I go to Jupyter, I go to Mars. Okay, and where it location is Mars. Okay, so if I execute. Now if I get data again, this is also a way to get a single data. I forgot this. So if you don't want to get all of them, but just one, okay, in the composer, here you see, you can specify also the ID of an individual record. If you don't do that, you just specify the name of the table, you get the entire table. So as you can see in this case, so I modify the first record, I modify the location and the text. So this is just to demonstrate that it's very straightforward. Let me show you the login also, even if we are going to see this in the next hour. So another an interesting thing of the login is that you can use this stuff also to verify if your application is supporting a specific provider. Like in this case, my application is not supporting Facebook. So if I try to do this, you see an error because logging in with Facebook is not allowed. It's not enabled. Okay? Because if I go here and I go to identity, you see that in this case I'm not yet using authentication. Okay, so we'll see authentication in the next hour. Let me come back to the slides, and then we can make a break. Let me see. I'll show you this demo at the beginning of the next hour. As I said, we provide the client library for all the platforms, but still you can also use, for example, the HTTP client to make calls against mobile services in a very easy way. And I'll show you this, okay? So we can make a break.